All right, welcome everyone to the Borough Roosevelt Council meeting of October 16th, 2023 at 7:07 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231 PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2023, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. This notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Lou Etzikoff?
I'm here. He may not be ready, but he's here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
He's here.
Ms. Constance Hertstrom?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Here.
And Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here. Okay. Many announcements at the end of the meeting, but for now we have a pretty full agenda, so we'll just go right to public comment on agenda items only. I'm going to open the floor at 7:08 p.m. Anyone from the public like to come to the podium and speak about anything or ask anything?
No, this is agenda items only.
Anything on the agenda?
Well, actually, I may be wrong. I am David Hurston, 15 Farm Lane, but I may be wrong. I thought I saw it.
We'll kick you out.
But I know I saw her letter in there, and I thought, okay, maybe I didn't read the agenda carefully. Sorry.
Victoria's letter.
Oh, Victoria. Yeah.
Right. And I just want to say, you know, if it's going to continue coming up at all, to say, you know, that she has envisioned this for so long.
A long time.
And she is so happy that she's getting some kind of support here. And it's just amazing to me, her determination, not giving up, doing all the homework possible. I mean, you wouldn't believe
I could show you my phone log.
Exactly. So, I just want to...
She thought she'd be here at 8:30.
Yeah.
I asked her to, all possible, try to get here a little earlier. But where she's listed on the agenda,
right.
I'll just keep pushing her to last after that if she's not here
great.
Yet.
Great. Okay.
She's got a long ride.
Make it clear that... This is an amazing thing that she's got to. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, I'm going to close public portion of the agenda at 7:10 p.m. In correspondence, we have a letter dated October 3rd, 2023, from the Monmouth County Board of County Commissioners regarding the Municipal Open Space Grant Program, awarding grant funding in the amount of $330,000 for the restoration of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial Amphitheater and grounds. So I think it's better to maybe hold that off until we do everything else, because that'll probably be a longer discussion. And then we have a letter from Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, dated October 10th, 2023, regarding the NJDOT application for safe routes to schools, resolution required for maintenance commitment.
That's on the agenda.
Yeah. And then correspondence from Vicki Estock requesting that the Borough Council support a radio station application that she's trying very hard to get a grant for Roosevelt to have their own radio station. And finally, Roosevelt Borough has been awarded the bronze level certification from Sustainable New Jersey, thanks to our Environmental Commission.
And everyone here, and especially Anna, not here, but is
Michael, didn't we receive one before, or what certification did we receive prior?
We've had bronze for the last several years.
Yeah,
we're maintaining the bronze level.
That's what I thought.
We've not progressed to the silver level.
That's what I wondered. It must be silver then gold, right?
So we're even.
What do you have to do to have gold? I can't imagine.
No, we never had gold, though.
No, I wonder what one has to do.
We'll discuss that later.
I bet.
More than we have.
Right. Well, we're tiny.
More than likely to be able to do.
Okay, and so we have the regular meeting minutes of September 18th, 2023. Do I have a motion to adopt? Mm-hmm. Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Etzikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstra?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Okay, meeting minutes have been adopted for September 18th, 2023. And now we come to ordinances. We have the second reading of ordinance.
Can we just go back? I apologize. Okay. Joe, you were absent. No, this is
September 18th.
Okay, I'm going to change it to
otherwise known as never mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's so many to thank you.
All right. So okay, we have second. You know, I changed that to an
abstain. Okay. Okay, we have the second. I'm trying to go slowly, so give Vicki a chance to get in. Second reading of Ordinance 2023-10, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt augmenting the Borough Code to include new Section 9-22, Yard Waste Collection, under Chapter 9, Refuse and Recycling, to establish standards for the collection of yard waste within the borough.
So you have to open that up to second reading, so public hearing.
Right. I'm going to open the public hearing at 7:13 p.m. Anyone from the public have anything they would like to ask or discuss about this ordinance? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion at 7:14, public hearing. Do I have a motion to adopt? Second?
Okay.
Okay, discussion at the table. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essipaw?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2023-10 has been adopted. The second reading of Ordinance 23-11, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt augmenting the Borough Code to include new Section 12-7, Salt Storage, under Chapter 12, Property Maintenance, to establish standards for the storage of salt and other solid de-icing materials. Do I have a motion?
No, public comment.
Second. So I'm sorry. My eyes tearing so badly I can't concentrate. I'm going to open the public portion at 7:15 p.m. Would anyone from the public like to comment on this ordinance?
Motion.
Well, wait, so I have to... Oh, I have 100. I have another eye surgery to try to correct it on November 15th. Close the public portion at 7:15.
Can I just say for the public record that these three ordinances, 2023-10 through 12, are required under the wastewater?
Yeah, we had discussed it at some of the other meetings. Yeah, at the first reading, yeah, we discussed that. Right. Yeah, that's on the record.
Because we don't have salt.
That's sugar. Okay. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essipaw?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 2023-11 has been adopted. Second reading of Ordinance 2023-12, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt augmenting the Borough Code to include new Section 5-14, wildlife feeding under Chapter 5, Animal Control, to prohibit the feeding of unconfined wildlife in public parks and or public property, Bond Ordinance Number 2023-13. And I just wanted to reiterate that this does not apply to private residences, so people can still feed the birds, and it's strictly on public property.
Okay, I'm sorry, but that bond ordinance 20, that's scratched. That is not part of the
title. Oh, it says 13 over here?
It's not tied to a bond?
No, it's just for wildlife.
Yeah, I thought.
Wildlife feeding. No.
Okay. Oh, it's purple. Okay, I'm going to open the floor to public comment at 7:17 p.m. Mike?
Okay.
Michael Tipton, 37 North Valley Road. Just wanted to remind everyone, just to state for the record, that this obviously has no effect on anything in Roosevelt, since if anybody wants to feed any animals, they're probably going to feed them in their backyard, not go onto the private property, onto public property to feed them. So it's
that's what I just said.
It's a non-issue in Roosevelt.
Right.
We have to adopt it because the state has just adopted, so we'll adopt it.
Yeah, that's what we just said. Nothing to do with your private property, right?
Beware of
so the borough won't put out.
We do have hummingbird feeders. We should take them down.
Actually, they haven't been filled in a long time, I know. Yeah, so we can't feed the deer, though. They sure have, yeah. Okay, do I have a motion for ordinance 2020?
Well, we have to close.
Oh, do I even close it? Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to close public portion at 7:18. Okay. Do I have a motion, Lou?
Okay.
Come on a second. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esipal?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. Ordinance 2023-12 has been adopted. Now we have the second reading of Ordinance 2023-13. A bond ordinance amending in part bond ordinance number 2022-04, adopted on May 2nd, 2022, providing for improvements to Tamara Drive between Pine Drive and South Rochdale Avenue in order to increase the appropriation, therefore, by $155,000 for a total appropriation of $574,000 to increase the authorized bonds and notes to be issued to finance a portion of the cost thereof by $155,000 for a total debt authorization of $574,000 and to increase the allocation of the appropriation to cost permitted under NJSA 40A:2-20, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. And I think you may remember that this is because upon further inspection, we realized that our sewer pipes needed to be replaced as well when we do the Pine Road portion.
Water.
Yeah, water we knew, but then we had to add in sewer. So I'm going to open the public portion at 7:19 p.m. Anyone want to talk about Pine Drive?
This is Tamara.
I meant Tamara from Pine to Rochdale. Sorry. All right, I'm going to close public portion at 7:20 p.m.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esipal?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. Ordinance 2023-13 has been approved. Now we have first reading 2023-15, an ordinance providing for the capital improvement for the roof replacement at the water treatment plant for the Borough of Roosevelt and appropriating $31,000, therefore authorized in and for the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth. And this is to fix the leak in the roof, to repair the roof of the water treatment plant.
Replace, repair,
and replace. Okay, so to open the public portion, right?
No, this is
first reading.
So this is just motion to adopt on first reading.
Okay. Second? Okay. Discussion?
Did this go to the bond attorney?
No, it came from George because it's not a bond. It's
not
a capital ordinance.
Okay. How has it been funded?
What I was told is that we have the money.
Okay.
We have
so
it.
It's not going to be bonded?
No. Mm-mm. We have the money.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Cash transaction.
PayPal.
I'm surprised we didn't do it last year. When?
2 years ago.
March 22nd was the minutes that I read of 2022. And I had done my due diligence. Steve even worked with me, going over the woods out there looking for Anna did her due diligence. There were three bids or
quotes.
So I'm surprised that it never made the agenda back then. But
Well, I think
it's got to happen so we know it, and we're a year and a half we've done it.
I don't think you were in favor of it then, Joe.
I was in favor of it then.
Okay.
The one that brought it to the table.
Okay, so roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Assakoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, ordinance 2023-15 has been adopted.
Okay, so, yeah, I announced.
All right, so the public hearing will be on November 20th, 2023, 7 o'clock at the Borough Roosevelt Borough Hall, 33 North Rochdale, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555. I was going to say something else about that. Wait. All right, I guess that's it. Oh, I was going to say, the reason it's November 20th is because, I'll repeat this at the end of the meeting as well, but we have no meeting the first Monday of November this year. It's the day before elections, and it's just too chaotic and too hectic, and the machines are here, and some of our staff has to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning, so we decided not to have a meeting this year, way back in January. Okay, I'm going to come to the consent agenda resolutions. We have resolution 23-110, payment of bills for October 16th, 2023. Resolution 23-111, resolution Borough commitment to own and maintain the proposed improvements along North Rochdale Avenue, between Homestead Avenue, which should be Homestead Lane, and Farm Lane, under the NJDOT Safe Routes to School grant. And this is something that was required of us, a commitment to maintain the streets as part of our grant application for the Safe Routes to School grant. And Resolution 23-112, 2024 software support and license agreement with Edmunds GovTech Incorporated. So, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Second. Any discussion? Uh-oh, this meeting's moving along very quickly. Kathleen, would you roll call?
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Assakoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. The consent agenda resolutions have been adopted.
I'd like to mention something about, I had the pleasure of signing the tax bills in my folder that we pay to the county and so on, money that we collect from our taxpayers and pay for services. We pay close to $4,000 in library tax. And I'm wondering if people know that it's in their tax bill, if they pay to belong to the Monmouth County Library, and they can use it online, too. You can get download books online and not have to go all the way over to the other side of the county just to go to the library.
So it's pretty cool.
It seems like a long drive to me now. But,
well, I think you can also just go to Allentown, too,
yeah.
I think.
You can, and people maybe need to know that, because it's, it just seems like a long way out there. And so maybe sometime we ought to get out a flyer and encourage people to go online and go to the Monmouth County Library system and check it out. It's a great library. I've always enjoyed it with the kids. I used to take them there all the time for books, and we used to rent movies, take home CDs. Music CDs, and it was great. So we paid for it.
We used to have concerts there, too.
What's
yeah.
That?
We used to have concerts.
Concerts.
They have great programs.
Yeah, it's conferences. I've been to a few conferences there.
People from New York. So
yeah. And people pay for it, so they may as well use it. Yeah.
I went to all of them.
Well, for years we were given a special dispensation, and we were permitted to use the Mercer County Library system because we're closer to that than we are to Manalip. And so I know most of us went to either Twin Rivers or East Windsor, just the way the students in town are permitted to go to Mercer County College rather than Brookdale because it's so much closer. But I forget when it ended, but at some point they said no more.
Yeah,
so we have to use Monmouth.
They even stop people who don't live in East Windsor who even work in East Windsor.
you were able to go free.
Right.
So I had the privilege. And then they stopped it, and now it's prohibited.
Yeah, it's real. Yeah.
But we used to have charging enormous amounts of money.
Yeah.
One night where residents could go to the school and pick up books that they ordered through the Monmouth County Library System. They go right to school, you pick them up, and you return them.
It would be nice to have
it's much stricter and more stringent, and we have to stick to our own county. So for us, we could either go to Allentown or Manalapan. Yeah. Manalapan, of course, is much more of a comprehensive library. I don't know. It doesn't seem... It's probably 10 miles, maybe. True. That's more of a distance, but... Yeah. Shrewsbury. Beautiful. I've been to meetings there. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really nice.
Well, the scout services we pay for, and that comes out of taxes, transportation services, so...
Yeah.
A lot of people can use that, especially seniors who may have difficulty getting around. And I think that they need to know about that too. I think people forget about that because I hardly ever see the scaffolds here.
I don't, everybody does everything online though now. I don't know how many people actually go places and save it.
Okay, at the last.
No. Could you save it, Ellen? Because it's not public portion yet.
Okay.
No. Thank you. So, anyway, it is a shame that we can't go anymore, but so it is. But, Mike, maybe you could put that in the borough bulletin to remind... Okay. Maybe you could put that in the borough bulletin to remind people that we have access to the Monmouth County Library System.
Sure.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Remind them. Or new residents may not even know. In fact, maybe you could put the addresses in for them. And let's see if any who goes. All right, we
need a library card too.
Yeah. I bought a book recently from some site with used books. It was the book that Marcy Hamilton had written, and it came from a library in Kentucky, like deep inside Kentucky. It had the whole thing in the back of everybody who had checked it out. Can't hear.
Speak up, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I recently bought a book from a website that sells used books, and from an attorney who had represented the borough once, and she had written a book, and I bought that book through this site. And when I received it, I saw it was directly from a library in Kentucky. And you could actually see the checkout tab in the back and everything. It's really interesting. I hadn't seen that in a long time. Okay, we come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing at the moment.
Okay. Councilmember Esikoff, Administration. Okay. Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
Too many important things happening at 8 o'clock tonight, and I want to get out of here early.
Okay. Councilmember Hurstrom, do you want to save it do you want to talk about it now?
But you're trying to at least...
Mike's trying to get out here early. I'm trying to, delay it so Vicki can get here, but...
If I do it now, I mean, you've had a
right, so why... Okay, but let's see. I'll tell you what. Why don't we skip over to Steve and Joe, and then we'll...
Yes,
so, Councilmember Mocker, Public Works?
Nothing.
one night I'm trying to stretch it out. Councilmember Trammell, the Utilities?
These large sodium aluminate tanks at the wastewater plant that need to be replaced, and hopefully it'll be under the bid threshold, hopefully. Also, this came up when we discussed the roof last year, but there may be a half dozen trees around the waste or around the water plant that are dead, that could fall onto the fence or onto the power lines over there. It would be good to have them take that and take it down before all the foliage falls off. That way it's easier to tell which trees are dead. So that's something that should happen. Do we need a resolution for that? Or how?
No, that's just a business decision. I think we'll just call out the new tree people we use.
Okay, so Anna will call them.
Yeah.
And this should be done fairly expediently again because leaves are falling off the trees. And there's a couple that are meeting back there.
Maybe if we wait a few weeks, all the leaves will be off. It'll be easier. Okay. Or I don't know anything about tree removal. Maybe it's just as easy with leaves on there.
Maybe put a cross on them so we know which ones they are.
Tape them off or something.
Yeah.
I can't walk through the woods as easily as I used to.
So how many trees do you think it is?
6 to 10.
Wow, really?
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
A year ago, and that was like, you know, we walked around a couple of times.
See what the quote comes in.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So we'll have to see what the quote.
Yeah.
The quote quotes are, or the we'll ask our.
And they're hard to get to because they're like in the
deep inside. We'll talk to our tree guy, and then if it comes in too high, it'll have to. If the price comes in, we'll have to go out for quotes.
Okay, and this happened because a tree fell onto the power line that went to the water plant a couple of years ago, so we became more aware of it. And these things are really what we call preventive maintenance issues that, you know,
absolutely,
better to take it down when
Yeah, we'll have Anna call the tree people we've been using since Alan retired, and then we'll see what evolves from that. I think now Tree Wise Men.
Yeah.
Great name. Great Tree Wise Men. Isn't that a great name?
Yeah.
And apparently they are some brothers or something, and they are religious, so it's like a perfect name. Okay, reports of borough officials?
No, Connie.
I'm sorry. Right. Okay. So now we'll come. Okay. Councilwoman Hurstrom, time for your report.
All right. You saw the meeting with this grant, $330,000 from Mollis. However, we had asked for $500,000. And as a council, we had talked about doing the half, you know, or whatever, doing the other half so that we could have, you know, a full building.
It's a matching grant, so whatever we receive.
Right. So this means it's more like $660 if we put those two together. So that is going to be short of the funds that we need for the project as it is slated right now, which was $826,000. Okay, so the next stage, when we went out for having the soft cost of this project committed, the Fund for Roosevelt, you know, said they would pay for the soft cost. And so what we did, when we went out for bid, you know, on this, none of them came in at $50,000. So what we did to get this bid through is we separated it in two, and did the first $49,900 and put everything through the council for that to have the resolution to have the contract, and that came through. So we knew that for the construction part, you know, of the supervision, we would need to come back, you know, to the council and ask for the $17,000, you know, on that as a separate piece. In the meantime, in going through this, we found that we need to have a wetland delineation of the property in order to do this project. And there is a certain amount for that. We're estimating between $5,000 and $6,000, you know, for that. And when we put in did before about having a water source that you could bring from the school and have it come over to amphitheater, the engineering for the water supply wasn't in the other bid, and that's another $3,500. So we really need to now go back to the Fund for Roosevelt and ask for the soft cost of about $26,000, you know, on this project. So at this moment, since we just found out, you know, about this, the Fund for Roosevelt hadn't had a meeting, you know, on this topic yet. I spoke with Gail and with Alan Mallett, who are both on the committee, and we're meeting tomorrow night you know, to talk through and for them to give me some understanding of what's happening from the Fund for Roosevelt. So it's just a little quick to have the resolution for tonight, you know, even to say, because it's not coming from the borough, it would be coming from them and flowing through because the borough pays for the bills, you know, here. So what we're looking to see, because we now do not have a meeting, November 6th, the federal election, that would take it to November 20th. And in the project plan, if we had gotten this by the 15th of October, we wanted to start the drawings, you know, on this and have the contract awarded. So on that basis, I'm asking the council if they would agree to a special meeting to give time for Kathleen to put the meeting out for a couple weeks. If we could do it on Thursday, the 9th of November, to make sure that we follow the proper procedures and having this go through, you know, the council after the Fund for Roosevelt has said what they will do. So I'm asking if that is acceptable to the council members to do that.
It would probably, I would assume it'll be a short meeting, but we, before when we talked about it, it's a couple days after election, so
that's
things should be calmer.
Right?
Yeah, Thursday. The 9th, which would be a short meeting, but
well, you have to make sure you get the contract from EMT. I mean,
you can say it, just explain it, because you know better than we do, so explain it.
A lot of things don't really, yeah.
Exactly, as long as you get funds for Roosevelt, they have their meeting and their authorization, and so I guess you can always cancel it if
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think it could happen, and it gives a sense of delaying for another 5 weeks to be able to start that, just for us to be able to say the approval. That's what I'm asking.
So the 7th is election day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
7th.
Just Tuesday.
So I noticed that the machines are still here for a day, sometimes 2 days afterwards.
That's why we made it
Thursday.
Well, and Kathleen couldn't come on a Wednesday anyway, but...
Okay.
We thought by Thursday evening it should be gone. They should be gone. Yeah. So can we do a straw poll, Christine, and just ask if everybody's good for Thursday the 9th for a short meeting? Does that interfere with anyone's? Steve, you okay with that?
What's the date?
I was just going down the table.
I'm good.
Yeah, okay. And you?
I was bringing that up to Alan and Neil.
Oh, way before the 9th.
Yeah,
like
before
in the next
the
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And Joe, you're okay with the 9th?
Yeah.
Lou?
That's fine.
We'll put that as a yes. Okay, so I'll announce it again at the end of the meeting. But
okay.
So you want me to advertise for a special meeting for October 9th?
No, November 9th.
November 9th.
Okay. I'll go back a week. That's okay. Okay. Anything else about Connie, the grant? Anything we didn't cover? For now, I know. One step at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, reports of borough officials. Ms. Silverman?
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. I want to talk a little bit about the importance of just collaboration. And the Environmental Commission has partnered with... I went to the Millstone Environmental Commission meeting this month and told them, hey, let's work closer together. And okay. And we already are doing some things with him, so it was nice to have a more formal togetherness with that. ANJAC, which is the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commission, They do a lot of education. We participate in a lot of education. This month, Ben and I will be attending virtually their environmental congress and learning about more and things, and they also have a lot of resources to help us serve the community better. The Watershed Institute is another partner that we have. We've done spring cleanup with them. The water testing program is run through them. They have started an Assapink Watershed group, and as a group, every member that is on the Watershed for Assapink are working together to do more things together.
Good.
You know, some of those things that are part of the MS4 permit, we may work as a watershed to do that. I'm doing a seed saving workshop for them this weekend.
What saving?
Seed saving.
Oh, seed. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seed.
Yeah, we're maturing. Yeah.
Okay. Seed.
Saving.
So you're saving someone's seat.
I do that too, but that's not the workshop that I would be giving there. Well, and that's really the importance of having native plant seeds from your area. And through our Roosevelt Seed Library, we have a great resource with that, and that's going to be expanded, where they also will have some to share with the people in the watershed. And then I'll do a winter sowing in January so they know what to do with the seeds.
S-O-W.
Yeah. So, and I've taken their community watershed advocacy program, which is online, fortunately. I don't like to go out much at night either. Then we have Sustainable Jersey. A great resource, a lot of actions, and that really highlights the importance of our close association with you, the council. Through you, that's how we got the bronze. Thank you very much for your help.
You're very welcome. Okay, so we'll go on to unfinished business. Is there anyone at the table who would like to discuss anything old? Okay, new business. Oh,
I brought these.
Yeah, your old business. Not your old.
But your business is old.
But your business is old. You can talk about that if we're stalling.
This will be quick.
No, you don't have to make it quick.
No, we're trying to.
We're trying. Well,
so, trying to slow the minute down.
Ben Johnson, 365. The last meeting, there was an indication that the tower with rail was preferred. So I ordered two different lengths, just oddly. But anyway, white, which is what seemed to be preferred. And this is still, well, aluminum. It looks silvery, but it's aluminum.
Can you hold them against
the glare? The glare is kind of.
Yeah.
Against the wall.
Against what? Yeah.
Against
here.
The
I'll be the other end.
And that's like an inch or two from the top, right?
Yeah.
That's the one where it's going to go.
Yeah.
That's the white one.
That's the white.
That's white.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we wanted the white because it's a nice match to the doors and the.
Yeah, like part of the trim.
Yeah.
White.
Almost like molding that moved down a little.
I don't know if you can change
it.
You
don't want to
change
it.
The
grid
was
a little more.
Yeah, the white is good.
White? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
And just to let you know, I talked a little bit about how it's constructed and installed. It's basically the same. This is called a mini rail. It's the smallest one that's made by any manufacturer, and the way it's held up is just slightly different than what it's called for. But believe it or not, it is true that this can hold slightly more weight than 1 inch wide, just because they modified the construction so that the clip that this thing hangs on, remember it snaps on through a clip, the clip is now actually the head of the screw. So there are fewer moving things that could possibly fail. So now you put the screw into the wall, you snap this on, and you're done.
So it's a double-headed screw.
No, it's... I should have brought it. It's a screw. The threads look like a normal screw.
Right.
But the head is a small clip. This is what you saw 2 weeks ago. They need a little special tool to tighten it, but it's really very simple.
And do they provide wall anchors with it? What kind of anchors are used? Do you know what kind of wall anchors?
Plastic anchor, right?
There's just the plugs, manual plugs.
So plastic shield.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And Eric Boley is going to be doing the installation. He knows, he's seen all the pieces. I explained it to him.
Okay.
I didn't need to explain it to him. He knew what he was looking at. And he said, if there is any variation in the walls, which is quite possible, then you might have to use a different kind of plug or whatever, but it's really a very simple thing.
So, Ben, would someone be available, if members of the public are using the room,
yeah.
Would someone be, and they want to hang things,
yeah.
Would someone be available to show them how it's done?
Sure. Well, the RAP is installing it, and we're maintaining the... Once this is up, it's maintained. It's up. But the cords and the hooks probably end up in my storage space, like most things. So either I or someone will be here to someone throw an anniversary party, whatever, and they'll be back. So
if somebody else wants to use it, they have to call you to come in.
They have to contact.
Well, if they want to use the system, yeah.
Call Anna.
Call
Anna.
Anna will make sure that.
If there was a space to do that.
Except, and also, we still need someone to show someone, whoever's holding the party, how to hang them. So.
Yeah, but if he's on the town or somebody's building, somebody's supposed to use the building.
Ben would assign it. I mean, I'd be responsible, or vice president would be responsible. You know, I mean, there will always be somebody on about that. And
if he's got to close to his house, you don't have a key to his house.
No. But if it comes down, I mean, he would have it given to or handed off to me or handed off to somebody. You know, Ben's very good about seeing ahead a little bit and set up. But as I understand it, there's not a good place here to make it.
There's nowhere here.
No, I mean for them to be able to know how to do it. You know, you still would need Ben, or you'd need somebody. You know, Eric.
Right.
You couldn't have it. IKEA kind of drawing. How hard is it to put the clips on?
You understand those IKEA drawings?
Well, Ben drew it.
I don't.
I mean, maybe down the line. I don't know.
I mean, I understand that there may not be a RAP person available for an event that somebody wants to hang a birthday party.
You're right.
That's what Lou's concern is.
Very little gets lost here because we're so organized. Could some be here and some be in your house? Just so that.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, split it up. And generally, unless it's a funeral, like a very last minute thing, we do know at least a couple of weeks ahead of time that the room is being used.
Like a party, birthday party.
Yeah, anything but sometimes funeral memorials are held here, but, funeral service.
That, there would be a time that, when they put in the thing, that there might be something there that says, if you want to hang something on the chain,
call this number.
Yeah, do you need this?
Yeah.
I mean, change the room request.
Right.
Yeah, just add it on.
To add.
Yeah, to add.
If you want to use the hanging thing, just tell us so we can.
Yeah, if you want to hang balloons or streamers or pictures, call this number.
Yeah. What happens when the person is done with the party and it's still there? Who takes it down? Who gets it stored?
Well, they have to take it down.
And where do they put it?
Right, well, that's the other
one. I wouldn't trust people. They don't know. What are you saying?
When you're done with doing what you did,
is there anything that has to be taken off of the wall?
Yeah, the hook and the wire.
Like Connie's saying, suppose someone has a party, so they hang streamers and balloons and pictures, and they're supposed to take it down when they leave, but they don't. And so Connie's saying, or they do take it down.
What
are
they,
going to do? We don't. It's not that we don't trust them, but it's possible that everything would get lost. Misplaced. Right.
Well, it would be the same thing. They're going to be in a box. You talk about clips in a small box.
Right.
So that box would.
Right now, we have a problem with the room being put back. The way it should be.
Right. Well, this would.
And these people that come in, we know what happened the last time. It was left a mess, and there's nobody.
Many times.
And I would not have one time when you paid for something that's going to be put up just to leave it, here.
Well, it would be the same thing. We have the deposit. We give them 20 hooks and wires.
And we
don't
have
get
a
20
big,
hooks and wires
a big
back.
Box labeled, please put. Hooks here.
They get
put it on the piano.
We could order more if we needed to, but they would have to come out of that deposit.
And then you could pay for it. Roosevelt Arts Project has to pay for it.
Well, no, but they come out of the deposit that they left.
And you're going to give back? I think that is ridiculous.
So what's your suggestion?
The only rap can use it, you're saying?
No.
No, it can't be.
No.
It's a public space.
Assigned.
Well, but what if there's not a rap person around?
There are 5 or 6 people.
How
do you get it up there?
Well,
that's
a
material, I think.
A ladder. It's got to be it can't be a ladder that you're going to put up against the wall. You're going to step a little bit.
No.
But you get a
step
stool.
Step ladder's not going to work.
Why would a step ladder work?
Well, we're not talking two steps. You got to be talking at least 4 or 5.
Second to the last step. I'm not standing balanced on the top, but I can reach it.
Could we? It's like this all hinges on it's possible that people will not take it down or not will lose. Let's have a couple. Let's see. Whoever wants to use it, not rap, like someone having a party, see how it goes. Maybe we're looking at something that's not going to be a problem, that's not going to present a problem, or maybe it'll be a big problem and then we can revisit it.
People said that the party would bring their ladder. They would come anyway. They used to come to put balloons anyway if they had a ladder. We didn't supply a ladder.
But we can have a big box with a big sign. Please put the hooks back here and see how it works or doesn't work.
So I don't think it's going to be able to do it.
And you don't need a ladder.
Don't punish him because he's tall.
Jealousy.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done a few things here, and I have my own ladder.
Exactly.
I think we can find time.
That's what I said. Let's see how it plays out. If it's not a problem, we're good. And if it does present a problem, we'll revisit it and figure out what to do. Who's taller, Ben or David?
Ben's got one.
No
question. So I think Ben should just be on call.
Why do I think it's this place?
I suggest that we don't revisit it. We just have a backup ladder here. Not that you have the person that's doing the party do it.
Nobody does it.
Super.
What's
the name of the board?
Well, we might have to revisit it if it's people are not knowing what they're doing, and you know, really, we'll see. Well, let's just see how it works.
What else? Where are we going now on the agenda?
On the agenda.
All right.
Where are we heading?
We're waiting for Ben to say what.
The ladder.
The proposal that wrapped together for this is that we will buy it, install it, and maintain it. And maintaining means that we would maintain, I have to use those words, we would have the cords and hooks in our possession. So we would control it. So
okay.
I purposely wrote that because I didn't want and drag into this, but right. Yet another thing to do.
Right.
You know, point out a step stool, standing up there, and she doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
Oh, I don't think Anna would do it at all. Those days are, no.
I'm not going to do that. You know, it's going to be me, or Dave, or Eric, you know, a few people, and we'll put them up if someone asks for it.
On a suggestion for rep, I was at Jill Alemsa's house and
yes.
I used this particular setup, and I know how to use it. I'm pretty mechanical. You should have like a little thing with rep available people that could be available to sit and to do or hang a picture or two, just so everybody would have the same skill set.
Yeah.
And so if you need to get space not available, you're not available.
And Eric, Eric and myself.
And as I said, we generally know.
I can't work over my head.
No, I don't.
But we generally know when an event is taking place, so I think we'll be.
Other
okay.
people in our house, if you could just put an all call
right.
and say,
right.
come over, we're going to do it
teach
in that
you.
House or Sheila's house or wherever. Just
right, exactly.
This is the stuff and this is how you use it. You know, so.
I personally always hear it.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay. Okay, we're going to come to new business. So I want to have a few announcements.
We can stretch it out by reading
the entire. All right, I'll save that. So let's see. There's a rabies clinic November 13th from 6 to 7 p.m. Free for everyone if you want to bring your dog for a rabies vaccination.
Dogs and cats.
Oh, cats, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Dogs and cats. And also branch pickup. We now have a date, November 13th, 2023. I think you all know bulk pickup was today, and I don't know, everyone must be living in like a shaker house because I haven't seen that much stuff out at the curb in years. Well, they didn't complete it, but I just drove around town and it's been years. So I don't know if that's new people moving in that, I don't know. I was astonished at how much was out there. So, you don't want to know. I don't want to know.
It just goes away.
It goes that away.
They don't put it in the ocean.
Oh, God, I hope not. No, landfill. Landfill.
I noticed that they had several different pickups. The metal went to people who collected metal and they had another one that just picked up just the random stuff.
And then you have the people that come in that drive around. I put out a microwave that doesn't work. After 25 years, I got a new one. I put the old one out. Next thing I know, it was gone. So that some of it gets tossed that way. Okay. Really? Wow. Okay, let's see. Okay, this is branch pickup. You said this. Okay, a couple of other announcements. So, Roosevelt residents, JCP&L, which we sort of talked about before, has contracted with Davy Tree Service to remove branches that pose a threat to power lines. They're going to place door knockers on the doors of homes where they will be doing work. And work is expected to start in the next several weeks, weather permitting. I'd like everybody to be vigilant. The last time Davy Tree came in, they were taking trees left and right because I think, probably shouldn't say this, but the more trees they took down, the more they were, you know, they were paid, I guess, by tree or by time. They were knocking on residents' doors, asking if you have any trees on your property that you would like down. It had nothing to do with the trees imposing a threat to the wires. So please be vigilant, or if you see Davey, like, we want to make sure that they only take the trees down that are a threat to the power lines and not just randomly asking anyone.
When will they appear?
Just says the next several. Is whether work is supposed to start in the next several weeks.
Will they notify the borough before they come here?
Yeah. And they're going to put stickers, as I just said, on people's doors. But they, I guess it was maybe 2 years ago in the spring. I mean, they just came through town and took.
Those guys are butchers.
They're butchers. And they took hundreds of trees down and just walked on people's properties, knocked on the door, and said, do you want any trees down? So, of course, many people said, sure. Which, you know, you need a tree permit to take a tree down. And you can't just take any tree down. It has to meet the standards of being eligible to come down. And Davey just, it might have been the hardest I ever fought for anything since I was on the phone with JCP&L just raging about what was going on. And they were giving me a lot of pushback, but finally they actually just stopped because they knew they had already taken down, because JCP&L subcontracts to Davey. So there were many trees still with pink ribbons around them because they were going to take them down, but I finally was able to get them to leave town. So please, if you can, if you see them, make sure they're not, or if they knock on your door. But if they knock on anyone's that you know of, like, please let us know at the, you know, Borough Hall, because so we can fight again to not have that happen.
So we have someone, our employee, check on what they have marked that they want to take down to say if we approve.
I don't think, from what I learned the last time, I don't think we have the right to do that.
We don't. They have the right.
Right. That's why it was hard enough to get them to leave town.
They
because,
can
do
it.
Yeah. But if it's not near a wire.
They can still.
Because I kept saying, it's
probably in the right of way.
Oh, no, they were going right on people's properties.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I kept saying, but this is our town. How do we not have the right to say to you, no?
They took down the tree on my property, and how I knew about it because I heard the chainsaws. Yeah. The tree fell down, left a stump. Now, who pays for that, for stump removal? Yeah. They don't.
And it was a debacle.
They,
got, and I know what it was. The more trees they took down, the more they were paid. Yeah. And so it was really a debacle. I didn't expect
really
it.
I watched some of the stuff they did. They were really very irresponsible.
Yeah, and I'm a little surprised that it's this quickly it's happening again. So that's why this time I'm asking everybody to just be vigilant, keep an eye on them, or let me know, let us know if they're again knocking on people's doors or just going on your property without even knocking, like Mike's, and taking trees down. Because they do get paid by, I guess, either the tree or the time. Probably not the tree, but, you know, how much time they're here. They're only supposed to take down the ones that interfere with the power lines.
And the ones that are tripping, the only thing they have to do is go around the wire. They were going every which way. They were taking down.
Very irresponsibly.
They topped certain trees down. Just took the top off the list. Left a huge stump.
It was ridiculous. It was horrendous. It was a real debacle.
Yeah.
And
well, they made a really mess of a lot of trees in town.
That's what we're...
The way they did it was destroying the health of the tree.
But that's not what they...
Those trees are dying.
But that wasn't their... That was not their obligation. Their obligation was only to take down trees or branches that were interfering with the power lines. Not up to them to decide, like, oh, this is a tree.
The way they did it was destroying the health
right.
of the trees.
Well, I was freaking out, and so finally the JCP&L said okay and got Davey to not come back.
So the homeowner had noticed, they come into your property, the homeowner cannot say only around.
Sure you can, but suppose you're not home, or suppose, you know. But as a town, we can't say to them, no, don't, you know. We don't have the right. But if they're on your property, they're trespassing, so of course. But they just went and did it. And when they knocked on doors, tree removal is extremely expensive. So when they knocked on doors, certain trees that people wanted down, whether they were in poor health or whether they were perfectly healthy and the people just didn't want them anymore, when they said, we'll take down your tree for free, I'm like, sure, go right ahead. So.
And a company, I forget the name, it's a Red Trucks.
No, they're yellow. I thought they were yellow Asplund.
No, they're red.
They're red?
Red trucks. And they did it, it was a totally different experience.
Yeah.
They were really sensitive to what we thought.
Yeah, this was horrible last time, just horrible.
Davis was a little bitter, I guess.
Probably, right. Yeah. They weren't even from Jersey, I think they came up from down south somewhere.
Right. They came up from Ohio.
Where? Well, stuff south of here. More west, but, you know, yeah. Maybe a little south.
Are we still under new business, kind of?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, we're still on.
With Vicki Estock's letter, since she may not be here.
Well, I have a couple more things, Mike, and then we can read it.
I'm not clear what she wants in terms of a financial commitment.
Okay, so let's do the other few things. And then. All right. Attention Monmouth County voters. Election day is Tuesday, November 7th. We now have three voting options. You can vote by mail. The ballots have to be returned by the County Board of Elections by 8 o'clock on November 7th. Or you can hand deliver your mail vote to the County Election Board in Freehold.
Yes, make sure they can't drop their mail-in ballot here.
Right. There's a drop box in front of the building, yeah. Which is pretty easy to get to. Just really go down 33. And or you can actually mail it by real old-fashioned mail. And there's so much construction going on around there, and just like all the everything that was. Yeah, there's brand new huge. Yeah.
It's also a drop. No Stone has a drop box.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where?
By the side door.
Oh.
Not the front door, the side door. Right by my office back there.
We're not putting it in
there. Okay, so, and also you can mail. It's, yeah, that building was so, obvious before, because it was just that one low building. Now there's just massive development all around it. Yeah, you can't list it. But much closer, you can, you know, mail it snail mail. It has to be postmarked before the 7th or go to Millstone. Then there's early in-person voting. So that will begin on October 28th through November 5th, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can vote at any location, regardless of where you live, in the county. So I won't go through this whole list. Near us is Manalapan and Upper Freehold. They're the closest ones where you can actually go in person, even on the weekends, and
in
vote.
The same building.
No, I don't think so, Lou. No, Allentown. No, the library in Manalapan and the Hope Fire Company in Allentown.
Oh, okay.
It's not listing.
That's early voting.
That's early voting, yeah. So you can't go to the Halls Mills election building. And then third option is the actual coming to the polls on November 7th. So we'll post this on the website.
This is on the website.
Yeah.
But if you have a mail-in ballot, if you were sent a mail-in ballot and you come to the polls to vote, you're
you have to do it in a provisional. And there's always a few people that, yeah. Okay. And the last thing I wanted to announce is that we had a concert and barbecue on the Sunday of Columbus weekend, and it was a huge success. There were about 50 people, which to me is not huge, but it turns out that apparently, it was postponed from September 23rd because of rain every weekend. So you usually get less numbers. But the people, one thing that surprised me is maybe because it was a live band and not a movie, we had mostly adults come, and everyone really enjoyed it. The band was fantastic, and people were raving about it and wanted to, definitely we're going to probably do another one in the spring. Eric Schubiger, our recreation director, grilled. The smell of that food in the night air, because it was dark at that point and chilly, it was like being at a campfire. It smelled so good. And I know for a fact that one person in town who has not been well didn't want to cook that night, so they came over, got a hot dog and a hamburger, and went back home. So I was glad about that. But it was very successful, and I was there, but I got a lot of good feedback about it. And so now, I did text Vicki a minute ago and said, are you close? But so how about if we I know quite a bit about it, as I think Ben does, so, or David. So we can, do you have her letter?
Her letter's in the packet.
Okay, I'll read her letter.
She's under the gun here.
She's really under the gun, and I implored her to get here early, because the one thing that I am terrible at is, I can never figure out how long. When I think it's going to be a long council meeting, it's short. When I think it's going to be short, it's long. I am terrible at beforehand knowing or having an idea of how long the council meetings will last. So because I know I'm bad, I said, look, there's a lot on the agenda, Vicki, but you know that doesn't mean it won't end much earlier. So I sort of begged her to get here by 8. which hasn't happened yet. So let's read her letter, and then I think between Dave and Ben and I, we can give you an overview.
I'm here.
Okay. And if, for anyone who doesn't know, Vicki was born and raised in Roosevelt and lived here most of her life until she was an adult. She lives about 2 hours away now, but her mother is here. She comes back frequently. She's on the board of REP, and she still considers herself a Roosevelt girl. And she, at some point, she'd really like to move back. So, dear Council, those of us who call or have called Roosevelt home do so as much out of circumstance as they do love. Dedication and a civic desire to give back are part of why you show up to your seat on this Council. Within these two, I think we're just 2 square miles, but exists more than just meandering wetlands, broken sewage systems, an artist and cooperative past, and a place for people to let their children roam. There exists the potential for renewed, collective, creative experimentation and engagement due to the scale, location, and the way time is experienced here within our borough. The lore of Roosevelt's past and recollections of collective experience keep many connected to the idea of this place's home. This dreamlike quality exists in one-on-one conversations, the soundscape, and memory. Those newer to the borough catch a sense of this, but experientially are missing something essential that only those of us who have been here for years can draw on. The medium of radio would be a way to create our borough's collective experience moving forward. A local community radio station would serve as both a legacy project and infuse creative expression into everyday existence. It would be a vehicle to resurrect and transmute the seemingly intangible quality that comes from one's memories into the larger listening collective. For nearly 40 years, the Roosevelt Arts Project has been supporting local playwrights, painters, potters, folk singers, poets, composers, and experimental collaborations. A community radio station falls directly in line with that mission and extends beyond. The beauty of a community radio station is that anyone within the community can put nearly anything they want on the air, provided they follow FCC guidelines. This would open up RAP's original mission and remind residents of the possibilities that arise from tuning into what surrounds us. As the Borough Council addresses the town's needs and RAP contemplates ways to reach outside itself, it seems imperative...
Might be Victoria.
I think she's gone. It seems imperative that we establish a media source that gives voice and agency to the young, old, and middle-aged members of our community. At this point in the town's history, it feels necessary that we invest in a project that both feeds our minds and souls. And the beauty of this is that our signal would extend to neighboring communities within range. It would once again encourage others to talk to one another, to build and exchange ideas in a deeper, more sustained way. There is an urgency for the council to embrace this effort. The window to apply for an LP, which I think is low power FM license, is this November 1st to 8th. The FCC only allows nonprofits or governments to apply for these low power FM licenses once every 10 years. Due to frequency spectrum competition, this may be the last time this kind of license application process is open. There is no cost to apply, and provided our application is approved, we would have 3 years to implement this setup of a community radio station. Should we fail to do so, the license is simply revoked. There is no application fee, no penalty for following through. I am asking you to consider setting aside the remainder of the recreation budget for 2023 and moving forward, designate a portion of this budget for this endeavor if we are approved for a license. The initial startup costs are at around $20,000. This includes an antenna, transmitter, permits, and a physical bare-bones studio setup, which we would have 3 years to gather funds to get established. In other words, the $20,000 does not have to be paid at one time. It can be spread over 3 years. Realistic projected cost to run such a volunteer operation would be about $5,000 annually. While RAP said that they would be the nonprofit that signs onto the application, because it must be backed by a nonprofit entity, and that they could contribute to the volunteer effort, they've made it clear that they are no able to contribute funds. The town's funding and support of the civic enterprise is crucial. RAP would be the nonprofit that signs on, and I would complete the application. Pete Tradish, who is an engineer based in Philadelphia and who was instrumental in establishing legislation for low-power FM stations, would work with us to get set up technically. As many of you are aware, on August 12th, 16 people gathered one evening to talk about this radio dream. It was encouraging to hear both the skepticism, the enthusiasm, and then get into the practical considerations to make this a reality. There are several locations in neighboring municipalities where we could get our antenna/transmitter set up and be within our broadcast guidelines, because it can't be set up here. Once we get the council support and we get the verbal commitment from a tentative site where the antenna transmitter would be hosted, I will make sure we get this submitted so we have a chance of turning a dream into a reality. This would be a process that would unfold in more detail in the upcoming months and years. Today, however, what is needed is your vote on the possibility of setting aside a portion of your recreational budget. After we obtain a license, which we should be able to do in a few months if unchallenged, then we can discuss in more detail how the council may fiscally support this effort. This is a rare opportunity. We risk nothing by applying, yet the community stands to gain much in years to come. With hope, Victoria Estock. So, in a nutshell, of course, Vicki needs our support, both emotionally, and then financially. She needs about $20,000, which can be spread out over 3 years, and then about $5,000 a year. There are many, many things coming into play that have to be approved before she can even really, I mean, the time is now to apply, but she's hopeful to be able to set up a transmitter in Twin Rivers. That's the closest place. At first, I wasn't sure how much support she would get from East Windsor's governing body. I was very hesitant about that, but she doesn't actually need that. Someone can someone in Twin Rivers can be willing to put it on their own roof. Turns out that she doesn't need governing approval. And she has a couple possibilities for people who are willing, because at first she was talking about the first aid station there, and I was very pessimistic about her gaining approval for that. But then she found out it can be someone's house. So she has a couple of possibilities. She actually has a definite from a former Roosevelt person.
We can't put it on our school.
No, that part I don't know the details, but it can't be in Roosevelt.
Why? It needs to be, I'm looking into it now. It needs to have a channel finder, and it must be that it's closer to that location.
Did you hear what she said, Mike? What Christina said?
We should know why it's not possible.
Well, Christina just said, can you say it louder?
Yes, there needs to be a channel finder, and there's a tool that it's based on location, and there must just not be one close enough in the Roosevelt vicinity.
No. Yeah, it's definitely not an option to have it here. So a former Roosevelt resident who lives in Twin Rivers has said she can definitely use her house. There's a couple other possibilities I've learned about.
However,
you have to find out what East Windsor's planning board or zoning board, I mean...
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You've got to go through that.
I would think so, but that's what I said, but she said she thought from everything she's...
They need a zoning approval to do that, I'm sure.
Well, really? Because you can just put a dish on your roof, right?
Like
I
don't know what it looks like.
You talk to the East Windsor zoning officer and see if it's needed before you get started with it.
Wait, I mean, that's what I said. There's so many things that have to come into play before. So she needs a commitment from Roosevelt that we would be interested in a radio station, that we would fund it, and that, you know, of course, and on her end, you know, people to volunteer to run the station. But also, yeah, the whole thing with the antenna. And also, she's applying for the grant, so she has to see if she actually is awarded the grant. So there's a lot coming into play, but initially, she wanted from us, before she goes any further, an approval to see, like, are we interested and could we set aside money? What's six something a year, $6,500 a year, I guess, over 3 years for the $20,000. Ellen?
What grant is she applying for?
Yeah, wait, how much is the grant that she's looking for?
See, I was hoping she'd be here.
Yeah.
It's not a grant.
You may not need the $20,000.
No, she's applying for a grant. At least she keeps calling it a grant.
This is the window that I'm looking at is just for the low power FM radio license. That's the window of time. I don't know anything about an additional grant.
But she would have to get the grant before the November deadline for the application for the
FM. No, the application is just to get the license.
Right.
But there's a license fee.
No.
There's absolutely no. There's no cost right now for her to apply.
She needs to go to the zoning.
She can still apply. She has three. They can say, here's your license.
Yeah.
You have three years now to get it up.
Right. Right. And then she goes to the zoning board. Right. In East Windsor.
So she should apply.
Yeah.
So what she needs from us tonight is just, would we be interested? Would we be willing to take money from our recreation fund?
Well,
and
here's the thing about the recreation fund. There's about $3,400 left in it, unused in line 28370. We use almost all of it to the dollar, and that's $10,900.
Well, this year we borrowed some from public events.
I think we did. And there's a mayor and council fund that has a little balance in it too, about $800 that could possibly be used.
Well, she doesn't
need
it now.
Is your recreation fund designated just for recreation, Doug?
Well, we have a public celebration fund, events and celebrations, and
recreation. This may be considered recreation. I'm not sure.
It's not a joke.
I don't think that's a joke.
Is it a school to participate in?
Sure. Yeah, she'll get, she wants as many people that want to do a program. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone, does anybody remember when cable first came and there was that Channel 8, which was local programming,
right,
and Margaret Chlinsky ran, or not ran, she hosted a Roosevelt TV show on free access, whatever that's called, cable. So it's similar, be a community radio station. Someone wanted to play the guitar, someone wanted to read the news, someone wanted to make announcements, you know, someone wanted to read their poetry. I mean, that would be Vicky coordinating all of that. What was I just going to say?
I mean, my question is, you can do YouTube and all that kind of stuff and get that out there, right? I don't know how any of that works.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
How many people?
Wait, one person at a time, please. Good. Go ahead, Ellen.
I wondered that, how many people listen to the radio anyway. But
she's looked into that.
I listen a lot.
I was one of my first things.
Right.
Yeah,
you're
in the car.
Anybody
listen to the radio?
I listen to the radio all the time. In my house and in the car.
Yeah, I was surprised how many people.
Don't you listen to XPN, Mike?
Yeah.
I have that on in my house. With
constantly. I listen to public radio,
too,
when I'm driving.
Yeah. Oh, for me, it's only in driving. I think that's a number of people. You know, it's true. In the car.
Okay.
We just started. Just read your letter.
All right. Fantastic.
All right, everyone, this is Vicki Estock. I read your letter, and we were just discussing it, but there are some questions, so take a minute to breathe.
All right.
what we need today is just, whether we want it, whether we would approve the funding, whether we can approve the funding, we have it. Vicki would know everything about the coordinating the programming, but I think we don't have any central communication media here, or not just media. Like, it's very hard. Not everyone looks at the website, and not everyone looks at the bulletin board, and we have so many different facets here of people who can read their poetry, sing, community announcements, let the kids from the school. I think it's a win-win, just because I'm trying to work with a new postmaster who will not allow us anymore to post the death notices on the door. That's crucial to us. We really rely on that, and he is just adamant.
Keep on the dumb
thing. No
announcements on the door. And
that's, I just thought it would cover bases. You might be okay with first.
No, I don't think so. So I was thinking, I'm really hoping to get him to change his mind about that. But, that's something you read announcements. You read. Vicki, did you take your breath? Why don't you give an overview real quick? I did read your letter. But why don't you give an overview, and then people can ask questions.
Would it be helpful to give an overview of some costs?
I guess one of the questions we had was, what you were maybe going to apply for a grant.
You
have
to really, I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on up and identify yourself.
I have to identify yourself and speak loudly, please.
You can raise
that. Yeah. Island Beacon.
Okay, yes.
Your name and address.
And address, please.
Victoria Estock, 27 South Cedar, Beacon, New York. Formerly of 6th to Mariner at Roosevelt, New Jersey.
Victoria, a little louder.
Yeah, you definitely have to speak louder.
Okay, so as you saw in the letter, there was about $20,000 that were estimated for startup costs.
Vicki,
education.
Mike has to pick it up.
You
can send it just louder.
So $20,000 to get it up and running. So bare bones, and we have about 3 years to do that, right? So that $20,000 is spread over 3 years. But the transmitter alone would be $3,500, the transmission line about $500, an emergency alert system box, so again, a benefit to the town, $2,500. An antenna could range anywhere from $150 to $3,000. But the broadcast engineer that I've been working with out of Philadelphia estimates that ours would be about $400 based on the saturation of signal in Twin Rivers and just the surrounding area, because we scouted it out in mid-August. And then again, the rest of that money would be, for studio setup, right? So as we got our programming up and running, and again, it could be really anything that we want to do as long as it's under FCC rules. There could be local news, there could be a segment of international news, there could be an archival rap information. I think it would be really wonderful to involve the children and do some children programming. I think that would be kind of the most exciting thing, honestly. But also to gather stories from old-timers and our history. And, we have this disintegrating oral history archive in the basement of Rutgers. And I know this because I did a memorial audio project in 2007, and a lot of that stuff was not even usable anymore.
Why?
The tape. Single-grain tape, literally, in the basement.
It's actually physically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is kind of crucial for both the legacy of the arts, and I've been asked to think about this for a long time, how to involve younger people in rap. I've come up with many ideas over the years, but this one, I think, is really a pretty substantial civic project, and I think it would encourage people to talk to one another again. And I think
well, I wouldn't say again. We all do talk to each other.
yeah, but there's a lapse between newcomers. I mean, we talk to each other, right? But and then there's, you know, the Facebook groups that are talking to each other. But there's a big gap in between. And
I think during COVID there was, you know, a real decimation of that.
Yeah.
People just weren't getting together with each other and talking and communicating.
And still struggling to kind of recoup from that as well.
Yes.
And only to have the post office as a gathering without the deli, used to be a little gathering.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
But you know, even before, I've been here before there was a deli.
We don't want each other.
People just hung out. No one had decks, you know, so everyone was in the front of their house hanging out together in the warm weather. And I mean, we just managed to gather before the deli even, and now so many people, no one's sitting out front in the nice weather. They're either in their air-conditioned house or they're on the deck in the backyard. I mean, I still think there's a strong community here. I watched a lot of it actually over the weekend with big trash. I mean, people were helping each other, and it was actually pretty kind of amazing. But it's still, of course, it's changed a lot, and we don't, and the deli's not there, and the post office is not kind of conducive to hanging out. And as I said, no notices on right now are allowed on the door, so,
yeah,
you know. So I still think there's a strong community here, but is it like it was years ago? No.
No, no. And this could be a project that people could get excited to build together, right? Like each input would be valuable. It wouldn't be a top-down sort of thing. It would take a community to raise this and make it happen, you know? Even to get confirmation of who I can put down on the application that said possibly they would have the antenna on the roof was a former Rooseveltian.
Right. You know, told them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right. Told them.
You know, that's kind of the spirit of this, and I think that's what makes it exciting, right? And then for kids, too, you know, Larissa is doing that Artist in Residence program. I mean, I would go and I could do, like, a preliminary sort of thing with the kids about recording and,
where would the station actually be?
That would unfold, right? So we would have to figure that out, whether it would be, you know, somebody's garage, or however we would outfit that. That I don't have the answers to. But we'd have 3 years to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And first we'd have to get the license. There might be competition for this frequency. There might not be.
Mm-hmm. The antenna itself, how tall would your guys say would have to be?
Depends on what tower we would be putting it on. Right.
So, minimum height or?
I mean, he had said at one point 100 feet.
Yeah. 100
yeah.
Feet.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
tall. Something that should be considered sticking out of somebody's roof.
Sure, sure. If it was somebody's roof or if it's a fire tower in Twin Rivers, right?
That's different.
Yeah. Or the Comcast Tower, too, is right on the edge.
Exactly.
So, you know, Vicki, good point was brought up that, you know, you're going to have to go before the zoning board in East Windsor. I don't think they can just... I thought it would be okay. First of all, I didn't visualize 100 feet. But I thought someone just had the right, since they have other kinds of antenna on the roof, people that have dishes and everything, but you'd have to get approval from the zoning board in East Windsor before someone could, especially a 100-foot antenna on
the
roof.
There was 120-foot antenna in back of my house.
Yeah?
I assume that.
Oh, Mel, he was a big ham radio guy. Yeah.
So I assume the town made him take it.
No, he just took it down when he moved. And back then, we didn't get permits for anything. I mean, he probably just put it up because he was a ham radio guy. And when he moved, he took it down.
So the thing about where the antenna is where it radiates to. Mm-hmm. So if it was in East Windsor, would we pick it up here?
Yeah. Because we're within 6 miles. So it would be 3 to 10 is the low power FM.
The tower is 571?
The one back there in East Windsor, first day far as well.
Well, this one is a tower also on
571. 571 by the Turnpike, that's where it's there.
It's a narrow zone. It's a very, Joe, it's a very narrow zone that we have.
The zone is where it trims.
Yeah, it was. I have like a little photo. But again, you need like Google Earth and to zero in. But
I have it on my phone.
I think the main concern is the cost. I mean, I think it would be a great thing to have in the town, but you are applying for a grant for money. I know you just. But do you know what that might be?
No, I'm not applying for a grant for money right now. I'm applying for a license. So first we have to get the license,
right?
And that is the window for the application is the first week of November. And then after that, you know, we have to figure out different sources of, like, funding, right? Whether it's GoFundMe, whether it's, like, you know, some portion of it comes from the borough, whether we do some sort of like fundraisers at the school, right? Once we get the children involved, I think those would be more successful, obviously. You know, I would look for grants, but grants are not guaranteed.
No, of course not.
Yeah. And I don't know of a grant off the top of my head that I'm saying, yes, that's the one I'm going for. But first we have to have the license before anything's possible.
The license doesn't cost that to try for it. I think you should go for it.
Yeah. That's what I would think. You have nothing to lose by.
And then we would.
And then we figure out the funding.
Right. Oh, the borough wants to do fund it in some ways. Are we allowed to do that? Because there are laws about what we cannot have for funds.
Well, no, we can't. The council. I mean.
Is the borough allowed to fund a radio station?
There's a lot of laws.
We would have to confirm, but I don't, off the top of my head, nothing is triggering why it would be prohibited.
And the 40A and the 40B.
I would just need to confirm, But right now I think you're just giving the approvals to move forward with the licensing process, and then you would be able to figure out the funding and whether or not you could back it at that point. I mean, the fact that the federal FCC is doing this for municipalities leads me to believe that it's allowable, but I would confirm that.
So this frequency spectrum, this allocation, is only good in this area here.
103.9 is the only one left.
What is it?
103.9.
What's PRB? 103.3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the point is now to be able to get an application onto that frequency. November 1st.
Yeah, they only open it between the 1st and the 8th. You can't submit early. It's this one window.
Right.
Yeah.
So for us, it would just be giving you the nod that the borough would like, or the council says, why not have a radio station? Or
no, well, no money's at this point.
Right,
she, yeah.
Right now, she just needs our
vocal
support.
Moral support.
Moral support.
Yeah.
At what point would the council have to say, sure, maybe a couple of bucks?
After she gets the license.
Once she finds out
if she gets the license.
Approved for a license.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then we would have to look at, okay, you know, over the course of the next 3 years, this is a different thing. you know, how does that work with your, I'm assuming the recreation budget, so I don't know exactly how this all works.
Doesn't seem to be the recreation budget going to be an issue.
Well, as we move forward, we can create a line item.
Yeah, you'd have to.
And I would recommend we do
it
that way.
Their ordinance and recommendations. There's probably going to be at least one.
It's a narrow band.
And I would have to get the site insurance.
I don't know if the antenna site.
On a rooftop, it would be more.
But now, this is, you know.
On the rooftop, it would probably be about 100 foot. And on the fire tower, on Twin Rivers, 5 foot antenna. That's it.
They might want a rental because.
They might.
Yeah. So it's a matter of speaking with them.
They might.
Otherwise, putting something up and this area would go to fire and inventories and everything else. So pre existing ones.
Yeah.
Go all the way around.
And I have some feelers out with fire squad connections right now. They just haven't got back yet.
And you have, somebody asked about. Why can't this be done as like a YouTube or a podcast thing? You're looking at a radio thing because that would allow call in and communication back and forth.
And there would be an emergency benefit to the town, emergency broadcast benefit.
Right.
And also, I mean, there could be a supplemental online equivalent, right? Like if we really got really into our programming and we really wanted to keep sustaining it and have people from all over or contribute from different places as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any other questions or concerns?
No, I thought it was a great letter, too. Very inspirational.
Yeah. And we don't have a central means of... We do for official announcements. We have the website, we have Code Red, we have the Borough Bulletin. The Borough Bulletin's not, is a combination, but not everyone reads the Borough Bulletin. I feel like a radio station would be so easy just to turn it on and you can hear what's going on in your own town.
Yeah. And I do think more people would be inclined to turn it on if their children were part of it.
Oh, I would think, yeah.
Yeah.
Or your
and
neighbor or your anybody.
Give confidence to kids growing up, right? They need that coming out of here in connection to the outside world. To bring the dreamy world to the outside world.
So can we
do we need
Lou? Hold on a second.
Yeah, you could be that.
Okay, let's just ask Christina. So right now, can we just give like a verbal?
Yeah, do you need, I mean, it depends on what you need to bring back then. You just need verbal approval to speak out.
In your letter, you can say the council consent supports this.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're consenting to examine your budget more fully.
Right.
So then it can be just an informal, you know, approval if you want to pass a resolution of giving your, you know, actual approval. But if she doesn't need that, then it's up to the council.
Yeah.
Can you get on and tell you, I don't like my neighbor?
Yeah. That's not a question for me.
I don't want to complain about my neighbor.
There's a good possibility that somebody will do that.
Well, like Facebook. I mean, of course, you're going to, you know. Yeah.
It's not going to be a Howard Stern show.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, so can we, do we want to, let's just do a show of hands. Who would like to support Victoria's endeavor to create a radio station in for Roosevelt?
I want to be your first on the show.
Yeah, I don't like my neighbor's segment would be very interesting for an hour. Because our
I saw what you did, right?
Okay. We got Steve to have a lease, right? He can do a little program.
He was at my house yesterday. I mentioned it. Yeah. Okay, I think
you have our
approval.
Yeah.
Good luck. I think you really need good luck. getting the zone. Yeah,
I'll probably
have to schedule a meeting with Janice.
I warned her already. I told her. I would save her for last, where I talked to the fire department. You said you have some connections first. The zoning official first.
Yeah, definitely.
Her for last.
Okay.
Unless, if everyone else gives you the approval, you may not need to meet with her, but you'll see. You'll know.
Okay.
But right, for now.
Okay. Good. Well, it would be a volunteer staff primarily from Rep, and anybody else that would be interested. I know some people already that showed up at that house meeting.
Spots that need to be like program director and things like that.
Yeah, we'll have to sort that out. Yeah.
And the tapes at Rutgers, is that?
There's a whole oral
history. Victoria's a sound artist, so she's well versed.
Don't you have some of the Let It Be tapes that you were doing?
Okay. All right, Vicki.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay.
We have a couple of comments.
Oh my God, really? All right. I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 8:48 p.m. Does anyone from the public have anything to say about anything at all?
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. Now, about the library. we had a last senior meeting, a member from, and man from the county come and talk, and one of the questions we asked is, can we use SCAT, say if we wanted as a group to go to the library to some of their programs? And he said that you would have to contact them, and if they could put it in their schedule, it might be possible.
Oh, I thought it was just for medical or grocery shopping.
I did too, Peggy. Yeah. That's why it's so good to have someone from the county come and talk to us. He was a wealth of information. It was a very good meeting.
Good. Nice.
You have to make that arrangement for your
uncle. Only you have to make that.
Good, Michael. Okay.
Okay. Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. I just wanted to say that the achievement of getting bronze certification for many years in a row, it doesn't imply that basically we're just able to continue having bronze certification. Every year you do it, they put more requirements in, so it's sort of, it's a situation like Alice in Wonderland where it says that you have to run as fast as you can, through looking at this, we have to run as fast as you can to stay in one place, and you have to run even faster than that to get anywhere. So it's like that in effect. So it is a major accomplishment. I just wanted to compliment Ellen's has taken the leadership on getting that done, and I just wanted to make sure that she duly recognized for doing that.
Anyone else from the public have anything at all they'd like to come to the mic? No, I'm going to close public portion at 8:50 p.m. Do we need a closed session?
We don't.
Okay, we don't. So remember, everyone, there is no first Monday November meeting. This next month, there is a November 9th special meeting at 7 o'clock, which will be advertised. Should be very short. And that's it. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
One small thing. Jeb, when she was here for the last meeting.
Something.
Yeah. She wanted just on the record that she has donated the new bus.
I thought we discussed that.
I don't know if it was everybody acknowledged.
Yeah, but we can say it again. Sean donated the bust of FDR,
new FDR
to the borough.
Right. And you got the bust of your hand.
I was going to ask you that after the meeting. Yeah. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 8:51 p.m.